I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, over 3 million Muslims recently completed the Hajj. It's a once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage to Mecca. And this year, for the first time, a member of the U.S. Congress was among them. Congressman Keith Ellison tells us about it in just a few minutes. It's our weekly Faith Matters conversation. But first, our political chat touches on both politics and faith. President-elect Barack Obama has chosen one of this country's most prominent evangelical pastors, Rick Warren, to offer the opening prayer at his inauguration. Millions of Americans know Warren primarily for his best-selling book, A Purpose-Driven Life. But many gay rights advocates are furious about Warren's outspoken support of Proposition 8, the ballot measure which banned same-sex marriage in California. Here's Rick Warren earlier this year in a campaign ad for Proposition 8.
God created marriage for the purpose of family, love, and procreation. So I urge you to support Proposition 8.
Some leading gay rights and other liberal leaders have called giving Warren such a prominent role in the inauguration a betrayal. Or, as President-elect Barack Obama put it yesterday, is it just another example of the kind of dialogue and coalition building he's trying to foster? Joining me to talk about this, Harry Knox, director of the Religion and Faith Program at the Human Rights Campaign. It's one of the country's leading organizations advocating for gay rights. He's here with me in our Washington studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Also here with me is Bishop Harry Jackson, Jr., the senior pastor of the Hope Christian Church in the Washington, D.C. area. He's also the founder and chairman of the High Impact Leadership Coalition, a group of ministers who advocate for traditional family values nationwide. He was active in the campaign to pass Proposition 8. He's also here with me. Bishop, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Michelle.
And also with us once again from California, Bishop Yvette Flunder, who leads Refuge Ministries in San Francisco. She preaches a doctrine she calls radical inclusivity, and she tells us that the majority of the congregants at her church are African-American and gay. She's on the phone with us from San Rafael. Bishop Flunder, thank you again so much for joining us.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining us so early for you. Harry Knox, let me start with you. Barack Obama did not support Proposition 8, but he also does not support gay marriage. None of the major party candidates did, except for Dennis Kucinich. So what is it about choosing Rick Warren that sparked such a sense of outrage?
Well, we're outraged about this decision, Michelle, because he could have chosen so many other people to serve in this role, but he chose a person who has used the most divisive and hateful language you can imagine to talk about lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people like me and my husband, Mike.
What do you consider hateful language?
Well, when he compares us to people who practice bestiality and pedophilia, to be called a pedophile is the most insulting thing I can imagine. If I were a violent person, it would get him a punch in the nose. But this is the sort of speech that's used about LGBT people with impunity by folks all the time. And we're standing up to say that is unacceptable, and it certainly shouldn't be done by a person who's going to be invited to be the preacher at the inaugural.
Harry Knox, if I could just continue with you for just a minute. There are some 62 million evangelical Christians in this country. Is it your view that they should have no representation in this inauguration? Or is it something about Rick Warren?
Absolutely not. It's Rick Warren. It's the choice of this person that's so hurtful to us.
Bishop Flunder, can I get your reaction?
Well, I think it's important to understand that the passage of Proposition 8 hurt real people here in California. Same gender loving families in California and the many people who came to California to be married are people who are tax paying, child raising folks. You know, we have soccer moms also. And the reality of the passage of Proposition 8, it was a very painful blow to a number of families who are productive contributors to our society and people of faith. And the 18,000 plus couples that got married in California during this time period did not bring Armageddon to the world. The earth didn't stop spinning on its axis when these families got married or people got married in California.
I take your point, Bishop Flunder, but if I could just get to the question of Rick Warren.
Well, the reality of having Rick Warren in this place, it says essentially that an accommodation is being made for someone who does very good things on one side, but on the other side is really vehemently against the human rights and civil rights of a group of people who are huge contributors to our society. And it also lacks balance. The balance is if Rick Warren is going to be a part of the inauguration, then a openly same-gender loving person of faith should also be involved. And I don't say that to negate the contribution.
What about Joseph Lowery? He's not a same-gender loving person, but he is a person who supports equal rights for same-sex couples and so forth, and he's giving the benediction.
I think that it's very powerful to have someone who is essentially an icon in the civil rights movement. But I think it is time for a same-gender-loving person to speak on behalf of same-gender-loving people.
Let's get Bishop Harry Jackson in the conversation. What's your reaction to Barack Obama's decision?
Well, I think it was very good. It was balanced. Rick Warren is seen by many in the evangelical community as someone who is very, very moderate, well-tempered, despite the comments of your other guest. And I think that it's a great olive branch. In the black community, we had a lot of black Bible believers who were for Barack Obama. They had a lot of tension with white evangelicals. There was a lot of confusion about would Barack Obama, concerning the faith community, really push us out of the mainstream, even though we represent 62 million voters. So I think he did a very wise political thing. I think that the overreaction here by the gay movement will cause them to be questioned, because you think about the millions of books that Rick Warren has sold, the people he's discipling, and they all see him as loving, temperate, moderate, Bible-believing, not hostile. He dealt with what he dealt with in terms of marriage only on the principle of what he sees as a written word of God. So it's going to actually backfire on the gay community as saying, see, we told you they were unreasonable, they were antagonistic and mean-spirited.
I just need to jump in just for a second to say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with a roundtable of guests about President-elect Barack Obama's decision to invite evangelical pastor Rick Warren to offer the invocation at his inauguration. But Bishop Jackson, what about Harry Dax's point? Look, Billy Graham spoke at both of Bill Clinton's inaugurations. He's a prominent evangelical pastor, probably one of, in his era, the most prominent of his generation. But he didn't invite Jerry Falwell, who's also of the same religious tradition, but who's considered a very polarizing figure by many people, especially, not exclusively, but especially African-Americans, for his comments about Martin Luther King Jr. What about Harry Knox's point that there are other evangelicals who share his faith tradition who would not have been perceived as so polarizing? And I particularly want you to respond from the standpoint of your mission as a person of faith, who also, you are a Democrat, you're African-American, but you've also done a lot of work across party lines, right, and you're very interested in bridging divides.
No, you're right. For me, racial reconciliation is very critical for the evangelical movement. I think the difference is this. I knew Jerry Falwell, recently preached for Jonathan Falwell at their church down in Lynchburg, Virginia, and even they are trying to make strides at eradicating that image of racism. They got blacks in their staff, black members in their churches, et cetera. But Rick Warren, even though this will hurt Harry Knox and others to hear me say it this way, he really is this generation's Billy Graham, whether they like it or not. And the idea that he would not be invited to play such a role, there's really no other singular person aside from a distant second might be someone like a T.D. Jakes, who is wonderful, but he doesn't have quite the white following to make him such a uniter in the evangelical world. So really, he's our generation's Billy Graham. He's the guy that probably will align himself most favorably with Barack Obama. Remember, under the heat of being called a backslider himself, he brought John McCain and Barack Obama together on the stage of his church, asked questions, didn't pull any punches. Earlier on, he was the first one to invite Barack Obama, and he got all kind of criticism for it.
I think, to your point, just to clarify for those who don't know what you're saying, that Rick Warren has been criticized for his relationship with Barack Obama. He invited Obama to speak at his church, Saddleback Church,
yes,
before he was a presidential candidate, and there are people who are pro-life and in the evangelical tradition who felt that that was not appropriate for him to do.
Exactly.
Harry Knox, what about Bishop Jackson's point that there really, you know, theologically there is no figure who would— who everyone is going to agree with on such a matter. And President-elect Obama's point is that progress is only made when people talk to each other. What do you say to that?
The problem is Rick Warren doesn't want to talk with lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. There's no real discussion here. There's a discussion about us, but it doesn't include us. And recently, people have been so frustrated with Rick Warren that LGBT people protested in front of his church just to try to get his attention.
Can I give you a – forgive me for interrupting. Can I give you – can I let Barack Obama speak on this? I just want to give you the clip that he spoke at his press conference yesterday, and here it is.
That dialogue, I think, is part of what my campaign's been all about, that we're not going to agree on every single issue. But what we have to do is to be able to create an atmosphere when we, where we can disagree without being disagreeable, and then focus on those things that we hold in common as Americans.
To your point, Harry Knox, you're saying that that Barack Obama says it is he who wishes to be this vehicle for dialogue.
Well, and I hope he will be. We trust that he will be, and you know, we're hopeful. But disagreeing without it being disagreeable. You cannot compare me to being a pedophile or a bestialist and then expect me to be eager to come into this conversation. And that's what Rick Warren has done with on many occasions.
I want to challenge that statement.
Harry Jackson.
Well, I don't think that
– short break in a minute.
I'd love to have you just cite or play back all these many references. He's not really dealing with gays and lesbians regularly from his pulpit. The statement that you heard about Proposition 8, he was for marriage. And I think most of the people that dealt with the Proposition 8 argument and the reason so many African-Americans voted for Proposition 8, which, you know, mystified so many people out in California, has to do with their fundamental belief about marriage itself, not some prejudicial response to gay people. So you're mischaracterizing the argument. He has been for marriage, for people. He's been reaching out to HIV/AIDS positive people all over the world, and he's actually an advocate to see people touched.
We need to take a short break, but we are going to continue this conversation about President-elect Barack Obama's decision to have Pastor Rick Warren offer the invocation at his inauguration with Bishop Harry Jackson Jr., Bishop Yvette Flunder, and Human Rights Campaign Religion and Faith Director Harry Knox. We hope you'll stay with us. And still ahead, for the first time, a member of Congress makes the Hajj, and he's going to tell us about that in just a few minutes. Also, stay with us. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the Barbershop Guys talk about President Bush's close encounter with a pair of flying shoes in Iraq. That's still ahead. But first, we're going to continue our conversation about President-elect Barack Obama's decision to have Pastor Rick Warren deliver the opening prayer at his inauguration. The choice has been decried by many liberals and gay rights activists because of Warren's vocal support for Proposition 8, which outlawed same-sex marriage in California, and to a lesser extent for Warren's vocal opposition to abortion rights. With me to continue our conversation is Bishop Harry Jackson Jr. He's the senior pastor of the Hope Christian Church in the Washington, D.C. area. He was active in the campaign to pass Proposition 8. Also with us is Harry Knox. He's the faith and religion director at the Human Rights Campaign, which has played a central role in the movement for gay marriage. They're both here with me in Washington. And also joining us from California, Bishop Yvette Flunder, who leads Refuge Ministries in San Francisco. She's on the phone with us from San Rafael. Thanks all of you for staying with us. Harry Knox, you said earlier that you felt that Rick Warren had used hateful language to talk about people in same-sex relationships. What is the evidence of that? Do you have evidence of that?
Oh, the evidence is right on our website at www.hrc.org. The quotes are clear. I'll stand by them.
Well, but what about the point of inclusivity, though? The fact is that there is a theological division on this question. All the major mainstream denominations in this country at least have at least a division on this point. The United Methodist Church is divided over this point. The Episcopal Church is in division over this point. The Catholic Church opposes gay marriage also. You know, could you put together an inaugural program and include everyone and actually do so in a way that doesn't have someone who disagrees with someone on a fundamental values perspective?
Of course you could.
That is basically my point.
I'm sorry, let me let Harry answer, and then Yvette, I'll bring you back in if you would.
Of course you can do that. And there were thousands of faith leaders who believed in Barack Obama's vision for change in America, who worked for him, went door to door, raised money for him last year. who do that all the time, bring people together to dialogue around hard issues and to get those issues solved. And they do it at the intersection of the oppressions. He could have chosen anybody in the world other than Rick Warren from out of the field of people who actually supported his election, but he chose someone who supported John McCain and didn't deliver any votes in Orange County and really turned his back on people who are really about dialogue. Rick Warren is about talking to people and convincing them that he's right. He's not about real dialogue.
Bishop Flender?
That is the locus of my concern. My concern is that if Rick Warren, if we are choosing Rick Warren, or Barack Obama has chosen Rick Warren to speak at the inaugural in order to cross the aisle, to involve what is a dissenting position to Barack Obama's position, then what should happen is it should be clear that the realm of faith, the area of faith, does not belong only to people who oppose same-gender marriage and same-gender-loving people. There needs to be some very clear voices, and those voices should be people of faith who are themselves openly and unapologetically same-gender-loving people. There are folks that are in this country that are part of those faith organizations that you just talked about, denominations and such, the United Church of Christ, which I'm a part of, and several other denominations that would be more than happy to be. There has to be a balance. The inauguration is not about dialogue. This is about representation. It's about people seeing people who represent their concerns and their ideas and their theology. And there needs to be a balance. There's not a balance there with Rick Warren and Joseph Lowery without having someone who is openly and unapologetically a same-gender-loving person.
Bishop Jackson?
Well, I disagree. Just on the professionality of it, we could say we need more Korean Christians who believe certain things, or Hispanics who have issues of immigration. This is political, but it's also spiritual. But there is an issue of representation of the majority of evangelicals will see that Barack Obama is not holding any hard feelings about the fact that many of them did not vote for him and wondered whether he really would represent all the people. I think that's what this is about. I think the number of people who are openly gay in America is so minuscule, and I'm not trying to devalue you as a person. I'm just saying,
you haven't stopped devaluing me as a person since you got here,
but,
Bishop.
Well, but I mean, Bishop, forgive me, is the proof of justice in the voice of the majority? I mean,
no.
But from that standpoint, I mean, the claims of justice of African Americans would have had no voice if it was a matter of numbers, right?
Bishop, you wouldn't be able to vote.
Well, I hear all that you're saying. Your argument, though, Bishop Flender, was just a proportionality kind of argument. And again, I think that Rick Warren is not characterized commonly across the body of Christ and around the world in terms of his position on gay marriage or not. And that's kind of where you guys have been focusing. He's seen much more of someone who helps the poor, who wants to change the world. His peace contract with the world is a desire to see world peace and harmony, minister to the poor, deal with HIV/AIDS positive people in a loving way, no matter what country they come from. So I resent the fact
that loving doesn't extend.
And forget. Bishop Flender, let Bishop Jackson finish his point, then I will come straight to you.
I'm almost finished. I resent the fact that because he doesn't agree with your narrow point of view, that all of a sudden he's less than a Christian, he's polarizing, it's like he's riding a white cape and he's from the KKK or wearing a white robe or something. And I think that's just not the way the world sees him in balance in America. And this argument advances your case.
Bishop Flender, if I could get a final thought from you, and I'd particularly like to know where you feel, where do you go from here on something which matters to you so deeply? How do you go forward from this?
Well, I think it's also important that I respond back and say that as a same-gender-loving person, we are not only concerned with the issues of same-gender-loving people. Rick Warren is not the only person who reaches out to the world and deals with issues of human rights across several lines and in several ways. He's also not the only person who is known to do that kind of work. But very specifically, with this particular issue, I think what we have to continue to do is hold our new administration accountable to the promises and commitments that were made to us as same-gender-loving people and not have our issues diminished because we raise them as issues.
I'm sorry, Bishop, we have to leave it there. And I'm sure we will return to this conversation, and I hope you all will join us for that. Bishop Yvette Flunder is the leader of Refuge Ministries in San Francisco, California. She joined us on the phone from San Rafael. Harry Knox is the Faith and Religion Director at the Human Rights Campaign. He was here with me in Washington. And Bishop Harry Jackson Jr. is the Senior Pastor of the Hope Christian Church in the Washington, D.C. area. He was here with me in the studio also. I thank you all so much for joining us, and I hope you all have happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.